I've preached off of Matthew 24 several times down through the years, referred to it a lot of times, but tonight I want to look at it just a little different. I pray the hand of God might be real to us. Amen. And I pray that the Lord might have His will and way. Matthew chapter 24, you find it. Let's stand and let's read together at least three verses and then we'll pray. The Bible said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Notice that word temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. We wanted to look at the magnificence. The temple of God was magnificent. Amen. Still is. But it's not physical now. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Those are questions. You can be seated. Father, as we come to You tonight, we thank You for the goodness of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God. May we not add anything to it nor take anything away. But may we take the Word of God at face value, believe it as it is, preach it as it is, declare it, and depend on You, Lord, to drive it home into the hearts and lives of men and women. Help us to understand the signs of the times and the things that we have going on. And I pray, God, tonight You'll get the glory and the praise and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On Wednesday night, if you'll remember, we talked about the temple building the new temple. And Jerusalem or Israel wants to build back a temple. Now, this temple that Jesus was in and talking about here was a temple that was brought back and built after the Babylonian captivity. And it was magnificent, and the Lord said it's going to be destroyed, and it was in 70 A.D. by Titus and the Romans, and they destroyed the temple. The Jewish temples, as they are known and have been known, is a no-no. It's not there anymore. But I want to point out some things. Solomon built a temple. God allowed him. David wanted to build it, but God said, you can't, David. You got bloody hands. So He let Solomon build the temple. The temple was one of the greatest things. And you talk about it in the Old Testament. You go back and look at it, and it was magnificent. And then they destroyed it, took the Israelites into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar took the utensils out of that tabernacle when they destroyed it, or out of that temple. And when they destroyed it and put them in his gods. And then you remember, at the end of the 70-year captivity, they were released and brought back, and they built another temple. We talked about that the other day. And that was what they were using. I want to point out something here. We're going to go back. Look, this will be this temple, and the Jews are looking to build a temple, and they will build another temple. Some think that it's already been built. But just go ahead and check it out. You'll find out they're still looking for that temple to be built. They've got the materials. They're gathering the materials. Not only are they gathering the materials, but they are talking about the design of it. And we'll talk about some more things. But I want you to turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 9. Hold your place there in Matthew. There's a lot of things I want to say. I'm going to take my time and try my best to get this through. This is very important. Matthew chapter 24 is misused, misquoted, misconstrued, and misapplied. And if you're not careful, you'll get in the middle of that. In days past and days gone by, there was a time that I looked at it a little bit different, and I look at it tonight. I thank God He straightened me out on some things. And if you don't get it in line, you're going to get in trouble. Daniel chapter 9, I want to read one verse. I read this the other day, but I didn't comment on it. In Daniel chapter 9, page 915, the Scofield Bible says, verse 27, And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And it said, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And we'll find that they'll stop, they're wanting to go back to the old temple and the way of worshiping and offering sacrifice. You know what I'm talking about? And they're planning on that. They were, matter of fact, they built forest because a lot of herbs and things were used, and they're trying to head up for that. They want to go back to the old temple worship, and they will go back to it. I don't know what portion or what time. I believe it'll be pretty soon, and I'm looking at that. They're looking for the place to put it, and it's right where the Mosque of Omar is. They call that the Temple Mount. Read it in the scriptures, or read it in the news, too. You can see it there. And they're looking for that. Right now, the Jewish people are preparing themselves and trying to train each other, practicing and preparing, and even holding special classes of how to be able to do it like it was in the Old Testament. And they're looking for a go-ahead of obtaining that Mosque of Omar. And we give you a little bit about that on Wednesday. But as we look at it tonight, that temple has not been built yet. It's a must. It has to be done somewhere. And of course, the church can be called out and then it set in play in motion. I don't know where it'll be before or after the rapture of the church. I really hadn't searched a whole lot on that to find out. But I believe the Lord could come tonight anyhow. Don't you? Amen. Now I want you to turn, hold your place there, and go to John. Into the book of John, chapter number 2. We go to the second chapter of John. Remember tonight what I've already read to you out of the first 3 verses of chapter 24. In John chapter 2, the Bible is talking about where he changed the water into wine. There's a significance in that. We're not going to get into it tonight. But in verse 18, the Bible said, then answered the Jews and said unto him, they're talking to Jesus now, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now remember this, the Jews are an earthly people with an earthly promise, and they require signs. Most Baptists are looking for signs. But God give us the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We have them do things. The Jews, you remember this, when he looked here, these Jews are looking for signs. That's why miracles and things like them got their attention. That's why they were, turned by those sort of things. But he said in verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Now they thought he was talking about that temple of Herod. And we're going to look at this again. You'll see what he says in just a minute. He said in verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years, took us 46 years, was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? He said, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, there will be a temple. It's coming. It's going to be in play. Now, going back, and I'm just using that tonight out of Matthew 24 is an introduction because we're talking about the temple there. And let's go down and read back in chapter 24. Let's go back to verse number 3. We know that verse 1 and 2, the temple has been destroyed out of verse number 2. Now we get to verse number 3. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. This is a private conversation between Jesus and his disciples. Get that in your mind. Tell us, when shall these things be? They won't know when this is going to happen. When is this temple going to be destroyed? When is it going to be told? When's it going to be torn up? They didn't know that it's just not very far away at that present time. Amen. And we'll find it usually after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then it goes on down to say, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? What's your sign? We want to see some things. Tell us what it's going to be before your coming. And of the end of the world. Now notice that word world. I want to point this out before I go any further. The word world is mentioned three times in particular in chapter 24. I don't know where you've got a Strong's concordance or not, but every child of God ought to have one. You don't have to be in book form. You can get it on the line, online, and you can download what you want off of it. But a Strong's concordance gives you the Greek and Hebrew words and gives you their specific meaning. And when you look at this tonight, and we'll look at it, and we're going to look at some phrases, you got to get this straight in your mind, or you're going to get all mixed up and messed up. When we come to the 24th chapter of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. You remember I've said this time and again, when you find a scripture, you look to see who he's speaking to. He's either speaking to the Jews, the Gentiles, or the church. And you look in light of what he's speaking to. Now, if it speaks to the Jews, it does not mean that you're exempt. If he's speaking to the church, it don't mean the Jews are exempt. If he's speaking to the Gentiles, or it don't mean that the Jews are exempt, or if he's speaking to the Jews, the Gentiles are not exempt. There's applications. But if you're going to get your interpretation of the scripture, you're going to have to see who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the Jews here in chapter 24. Matter of fact, can I remind you today that the church is not mentioned in these New Testaments or in these five or four Gospels except in Matthew where he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church did not exist in Matthew 24. Are you with me? We're following scripture. We're looking at it straight as it is. So he's not speaking to the church. The Jews are the one that's wanting this. They want to know what's going on. World, mentioned three times. Here in the world, you look it up in your concordance when you get home, Strong's concordance, and it will say that the Greek word is A-I-O-N, or aeon, aeon is the way that is pronounced, or aeon, aeon, aeon. And I may be mispronouncing it, but I spelled it for you. And that word in that Greek means this. It means age. It means the end of time. It means eternity. These Jews don't know anything about the church. They know nothing about a rapture. They're saying, tell us what it's going to be and give us some signs of the end of the age or the end of the world or the end of time. Have you got it? That's as plain as I said, the nose on your feet. Amen, the other day. It's as plain as the nose on your face. It's seriously. Now, the second time the word world is mentioned that we want to point out is in verse number 14. And we're going to go back and work on these. In verse 14, it said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. If you look this word world up in the concordance, Strong's concordance, it'll tell you that it is the Greek word O-I-K-O-U-M-E-N-E, which is pronounced something like O-K-O-I-M-E-N-E or something. I don't know how to say it. I took Greek 2 years in Bible college, and I took English 12 years nearly. And I don't know much about Greek nor English. Amen. So don't hold me to that. I'm just telling you what concordance says. And in that concordance, it means the earth. It means the inhabited earth. So let's go back and read it that way. And this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all the earth, inhabited earth. You got it? Now, the third time the word world is mentioned is found in verse 21. I've gone over these before, probably marked in your Bible if you look. For then shall be great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That word world there means mankind. It's the word cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. You've heard that before. I've heard that one. I can get you that one. And cosmos means mankind, the human race, individuals. So we look at it. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the human race. You got it? Now you look these up in the concordance. I didn't change the word of God. Sometimes they use those words. They said the same thing. They put it world. And it had different definitions. It looks like a lot of our words have different definitions. And you have to look at it in the setting of the Word of God. And when they translated it, you'll see it. Now, when you look at this, he's speaking of the tribulation hour. He's talking about a time. He's not talking about the church here. I told you this morning that the church is the bride of Christ. And he, I believe, will not allow the church to go through the tribulation. I'm not a pre-trib. I'm a pre-trib. I do not believe in after tribulation, middle tribulation. I believe that the church is going to be called out before any of the things works with the Jew. Now let me go back and get you something else. Would you turn to the Isaiah chapter 9? Stay there, Matthew. But go back to Isaiah. And let's go to chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. Let me turn there. And we're going to read a familiar piece of scripture. In Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to read this because I want you to see, but this is very important. In chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, it speaks of something here in verse number 6 and 7. We're going to read both verses. For unto us a child is born, that's Christ. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his, what's that word right there? Kingdom. The Lord's going to establish a kingdom. He said that before the Christ was ever born. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth for even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He's got a kingdom coming. And that's when the Lord told him over there, pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He give us the model prayer. And it's all specified in that. Now slide over with me, please, to the book of Matthew. Not 24, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. There's some terms tonight if you don't get these terms right. Remember this morning I told you that the day of Christ is the time that Christ deals with the church. It's an age. We're in the day of Christ right now. He's dealing with the church. He's not dealing with the Jews. He's dealing with the church. Am I right? The Jews are on the sideline. We are in the middle. Amen. We're on the front line today. We've been grafted in. I mean, we're not originals. We've been rooted and grounded in Christ, and we've been grafted in on the root system of the Jewish people. Hallelujah for the Jews, if you will. But we go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 2. Let's look at verse 1. The Bible said in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now in verse number 2, he's going to tell you what he preached. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The day of Christ is now. The day of the Lord is when he deals with his people in the judgment. In the time of Jacob's trouble. When he deals with them in the tribulation hour. But John the Baptist didn't preach what I preach. John didn't see no church. John didn't see no grace. He had the grace of God around him because all salvation is by grace. John didn't see an open door of a place called the church. John didn't see believers called out. He didn't see that. All he had on his mind and promise was that there's a kingdom coming. There's a Messiah coming. There's a king is coming. Amen. There's somebody coming to deliver us. So he stands up and says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That, look at that term, kingdom of heaven. I don't preach the kingdom of heaven tonight. What I preach the kingdom of God. There's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. If you don't get this straight, you're going to mess up when you get over to Matthew 24. Amen. Now would you slide over to Matthew chapter 4. And when you get down in verse number 7, look at this. Well, let's see, I may be at the wrong place here. Let's see. Jesus. Oh yeah, here it is. Chapter 4 and verse 23. In Matthew chapter 4 and 23, the Bible said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was saying to them, I'm your king. I come to set up a kingdom. I'm the king and the kingdom's yours. And they rejected him. And you'll find that New Testament is dealing with that. And you'll see it. Amen. And then when you get over to Galatians, I want you to slide over to Galatians. And I give you a lot of scripture on this, but I just want to take you to one. That'll be enough because we want to cover some other ground. In Galatians chapter number 5, I want to show you something. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul is writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit. And in chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, amen. Verse 21, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now notice, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Who's he speaking to here? Speaking to the church. He's not speaking to Jews now. He's speaking to the church. The Jewish way of life is gone. You remember the Jews couldn't understand when they come through preaching the grace of God. They thought this is something. You know why they didn't accept it? Because it was something strange. This is not what they've been taught. They had not been taught the grace of God. They've been taught how to obey the law. Dot the I's, cross the T's. They didn't know nothing about the grace of God. And so they didn't accept it. Still don't. The Jew today does not accept the New Testament. He does not accept it. He says no sir to the New Testament of your Bible. You'll never find a Jew unless he's saved. You'll never find a Jew picking up the New Testament. He denied Christ when he came. He crucified him. He's got his blood upon their shoulders. And they will not receive. They will not accept. They're going to the wailing wall every day, 24/7. And they're praying for the Messiah to come because they rejected the Messiah. They don't know what's going on. That's the reason one of these days when they do see him and he comes in the final windup, They're going to say, "Where'd you get them scars in your hands?" He's going to say, "In the house of my friends. You're the one that crucified me. You're the one that denied me. You're the one that rejected me." The Jews on the sideline tonight waiting for his judgment. Nowhere in the Bible have you ever seen where the Lord said that the church is going through any kind of judgment. Except when we're called out of here, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Amen. Now, is this plain enough to you? I'm trying my best not to miss anything, and I know I will. But I'm human. But I go back just a minute and look at this. The church is a heavenly people with a heavenly promise. Nowhere in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, when the Lord says the Lord himself is going to descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. When you look at 1 Corinthians and Thessalonians, none of that applies to the Jewish nation as a whole. It applies to the church of the living God. Amen. And amen. The only Jews that's going to go out in the rapture is those who've been birthed into the family of God, born again like you and me. And they're going to be hearing the gospel of the grace of God to do that. Now let's go back. Let's just take a little note at this just for a moment. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. And we'll find that, and we've already looked at it several times here. We find the gospel of the kingdom. Then we find tonight the gospel of grace in all the New Testament, from the time that the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost. Nobody preached the gospel of grace in the four gospels or the four records of the gospels, not but one gospel. Amen. Nobody preached the gospel of grace. They didn't know nothing about it. And Peter couldn't understand when he went down there to preach the grace of God in Acts chapter number 10, and the sheet come down, knit at the four corners, and those ungodly beasts is what he thought they were, uncommon, unclean. And the Lord said, "Peter, rise up, kill and eat." And he said, "I'm not to touch anything that's common or unclean." And the Lord said, "What I've called clean, don't you call common and unclean." Amen. And what he's talking about is the Gentiles. He wasn't talking about animals. That was just how it was used. And Gentiles in the Old Testament were dogs, and nobody cared for them, and they were an outcast. And now he said, "Go down to the house of Cornelius. He's a Gentile. You go down and preach to him." You remember Peter started preaching to the Gentiles, and then God called out one by the name of Paul, and he happened to be a gospel of grace preacher. And he preached grace, 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 for by the grace of God are we saved. Amen. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And he goes on, grace, grace, grace. And the Jews are on the sideline. They're not involved in that. And the Lord picks it up. Now, I'm not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I never have. I do know there's a kingdom coming. I do know that the Lord's going to set his reign upon the earth. I do know that there's going to be a ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And I do know tonight I'm going to be there. But that kingdom is for those Jews and earthly people. Amen. But we're going to enjoy some of that. Amen. That's right. And so I give God the praise and the glory for it. I'm preaching the gospel of grace, and we'll preach it till the day I'm called out of here. Now, we get a little bit further tonight, and we find that God... let's go back just a minute to Matthew chapter 24. Amen. There's so much here, I just have to kind of let the Lord speak to me and wind my chain up and turn me loose. All right. In Matthew 24, I want you to notice something. And we'll go down here and look at it, and people get this all mixed up. In verse 4, it said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We're already seeing that to some extent. It's already here to some degree. You said, but this is to the Jews. Yeah, but we are living in these hours too. Amen. The church is seeing. Have you not seen that today? That there's been many who come along and said, I'm Christ. Yeah. The Bible said in verse number 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I've seen all that in my day. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. That's diseases and disasters and different places is what that divers is. I've seen that, haven't you? I saw this morning where they said fires in California have been the worst it's ever been this past season. And I guess I didn't hear too much about it in the news. They was all talking about all the other stuff going on. But it said in verse number 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That's just the beginning of sorrows. Now, in verse 9, I don't know where the rapture takes place at. But I know it takes place before we get down a little further. And I'm going to show that to you tonight from the Word of God. Remember what I've already told you. Let it soak in a minute. Hang on to it. I do not want to wrongly divide the word. I want it to be right. Then shall they deliver you up. Now who's he talking to? He's talking to them disciples. A private conversation. Nothing's changed. It said, then shall they deliver you. I happen to read a little bit about that because as a Gentile, I got saved by the grace of God and God gave me a copy of the same book. So I know a little bit about what happened. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's talking to those Jews. He's talking to those disciples. The Lord has never told us about a temple. He's never promised us a temple. But he promised them one. And he's saying that they're going to be offended. The Bible said in verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now we're living in that kind of atmosphere in our day, but that ain't what's happening here. It's worse. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And it is. It's getting that way. Verse number 13, he tells those Jews something that he's never told the church. He said here, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord has never told you as a church member and as a Christian that if you'll endure to the end, you're going to make it. If you believe that tonight, get out of the Baptist church and go get into the Pentecostals. That's where they get some of this stuff. They're taking it out of context. Let me tell you, in the tribulation hour, God's going to work with those Jews again, just like he did in the Old Testament. You see, tonight, I don't know where the rapture takes place at here. I don't. Neither do you. The Lord said, we don't not. If we could put it, say it was between verse 8 and 9, we'd be a nutcase. Because we'd be trying to figure out it's going to be tomorrow. We've got some doing that now. The reason I say tonight that this chapter does not work with the Christians and with the church is simply because, let's borrow something and turn over a little bit. We're coming back to where I'm at. Let's go down to chapter 24 and let's look at verse number 32. You've heard this preached on. I used to preach it this same way and I'm fixing to tell you people preach it now. Until the Lord opened my eyes. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll listen to what everybody says. And if it don't read it in the Word of God, and you said, I'm not going to preach it just because you said I ain't going to take your word. I don't want you to take my word for it. If you can't see it for your own self in the Word of God here and the Holy Spirit don't drive it into your heart, you go home and pay no attention to it. But if you've got an open heart and an open mind and the Holy Spirit does some speaking to you, you better take it to heart. Now, he said in verse 32, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. You know that summer's nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Near even at the doors. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That verse right there is what caused me to change my mind and say tonight, he's not talking to the church. I've been in this business a long time. I didn't start preaching yesterday. And I picked up a lot of information from a lot of people, and I've been led by some of them, and I want to try to stay to where the Spirit of God does His work in my heart. Now listen to this. Back yonder, they would say, and they'd read that in preachers, independent Baptist fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, Bible-preaching, King James Bible preachers, said that a generation is 30 or 40 years. You ever heard this now? I know you have. And a fella come out and wrote a book, and he said, how I know, and he talked about why Jesus is coming in 1988. How many remembers that book or heard of that book before? All right. It wasn't no good in 1989 because Jesus didn't come. And we've got this crowd. The Jehovah's Witness said Jesus come in 1914. He's already come, they'll tell you. Some believe that Jesus come on the day of Pentecost. Some believe that Jesus comes when a person gets saved. But he hasn't come yet. And this is not to the church here. One said, well, it's 40 years. Add 40 to 1948. Israel became a nation in 1948. Add 40 years for a generation. He's got to come in 1988. And then they said, well, it's 50 years. And they went on up and kept going on up. And now I don't even hear. And now how long's it been? 70, what, 2 years? That's a long generation. So this is not talking about the rapture of the church. And you go down through there and read it and you'll think it's the rapture and all that, but go to chapter 25. You remember we started in chapter 24 and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but look at verse 1 in chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. He's still talking about the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Church is not involved. Matter of fact, tonight, that's why so many people get so upset. If you'll read Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll find the church is mentioned in those three chapters. You'll find the church, Jesus walking in the midst of them. And in chapter 2 and 3, he describes them. But when you get to chapter 4 after this, I looked and behold, the doors opened in heaven. And the voice said, come up hither. And that's the church in this rapture when it's called out of here. Yes, sir. And you look at that, you won't find the church mentioned not one more time in the book of Revelation until you get up to chapter 19. When you get to chapter 19, Jesus is bringing his church back with him to bring judgment and to have the battle and call the birds. And set up his kingdom. Amen. I'm not trying to twist your mind and warp your mind. Some of them's already warped already. But anyhow, try to get the warp out. Get you to thinking straight. So Matthew chapter 24, and I used to preach it just like I just mentioned to you. But we'll find that it's different. Now let's go back to chapter 24 and I want to show you. In verse 13 he said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What are we preaching today? The gospel of grace. These are preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now who's going to do that? Revelation 7. Turn to Revelation 7. Now these have not been sealed yet. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, when do you think those 144,000 Jews are going to be sealed? I believe just quickly and right fast after the rapture is taking place. You said, how come? I don't know how soon after, but it'll be soon, and I'll tell you why. Because they're going to preach in all the world. Amen. For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. They're not coming to the last part of the tribulation. They're coming at the first part of the tribulation. In every age, in every generation, in every moment of time, from Genesis 1 down to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, God has always had some method of getting the gospel and the word out. Maybe through prophets, priests, and kings, preachers and evangelists and pastors and missionaries, but God is always give the world a voice. And I don't believe he's going to let them go long without having them. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Now this is what we call a parenthetical chapter. In other words, God has stopped from the seals over here. Six seals is opened, and before he opens the seventh seal, he seals these, he brings this chapter in. That don't mean it's at that particular time. But it means tonight that he's going to stop and seal. Because if you'll look at chapter number 6, you're going to find that's toward the end of the tribulation, right where we come down at the end of chapter 6. They're going to be hiding under the rocks and the mountains, so it's done got rough. But it said in verse number 1 of chapter 7, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending, going up from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. Now it tells why. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. You can't hurt nothing until we get these boys sealed. Now the Jew don't know what tribe he's of. The records were destroyed in 70 AD when Titus destroyed Jerusalem. Abraham could tell you what tribe he was of. Even Paul told you he was of the tribe of Benjamin. The Levites, some of them, they don't know whether they're the tribe of the Levites. Levites are the priest. That's why they're over there practicing today. They don't know who's who, but they're practicing. The Levites do the sacrifice. And he's looked in chapter 7 and verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And he goes down and tells of all those tribes. Now, he goes on to tell you about the people who are saved in tribulation after that. But now let's look over, and I've always said that these were going out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but I'm going to show you tonight exactly what they're preaching. Excuse me, go to chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. He's going to explain these again. In chapter 7, he's parenthetical. Chapter 14 is put in as parenthetical again. God puts and inserts another chapter. He changes the subject and puts it on us. Chapter 14, verse 1 said, and I looked, and lo, a lamb. We know who that is, don't we? Jesus stood on Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. This is the 144,000. It's been sealed in chapter 7. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And he talks about their character. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among the men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Notice what it says. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now look at verse number 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And that's what the 144,000 are going to do. They're going to be preaching the everlasting gospel, which ushers in the kingdom. You got that? You got the gospel of grace. You got the gospel of the kingdom. You got the gospel of God. You got the everlasting gospel. And they're going to reach, they're going to be evangelists. And they're just going to be in the Holy Land. They're going to be in the world. The whole world, 144,000, is going to evangelize the country, and people will be saved. And during that period of time, give her life and heart. But amen. They're going to be there. Now, what's going to happen? And the reason I'm saying that, those over there will not take the mark of the beast, they'll be redeemed. If they take the mark of the beast, they go under. You see that? Now, let me tell you something. God is not going to allow the church to go through the tribulation, because I said this morning the church is His bride, and that's special. The church is a special entity to God. You believe that? He purchased them on the cross of Calvary. You said He did the Jews too. That's right. But it's a little special to the Gentile tonight. God created the church and put us in. You heard me say this morning, if you pull the church out of the New Testament, it'd be a continuous thing with the Jew. Amen. And this thing had done been wound up. Amen. But He's not. It's His little bride. Amen. I'm glad I'm on His side. Now, there's other scriptures I can keep it going. I'm going to stop right there. But I hope it's helped you. That's enough right there to choke you. That's more than you can handle. And I don't want to throw no more on you. Amen. But we can come back and get some more after a while. Or another day or two, all right? Did that help you? Now, we could go back, and I didn't even get down in the book of Matthew. So what's going to happen? Well, let me read this. The Bible said in verse 15 of chapter 24, Matthew, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken, that's when the Antichrist sets his throne up. And see, these fellows over here's already been sealed to preach that gospel. Before then. Then they're going to know that they'll hear that Daniel the prophet has spoken of it. You know, going to see it. And then in verse 21 it says, for then shall be great tribulation. This is the first. That's why I say these boys will be sealed right at the first part after the church is taken out. Let me just throw you one more in. Maybe I'll just crank up and take off some more. Listen. Another reason tonight that I know the church is not going out in the middle of the tribulation, is going out before then, is because tonight there's no reason for the Lord to seal 144,000 Jews upon this earth today to preach the everlasting gospel, because we're preaching the gospel of grace, and God's going to break that away, and they're going to preach not something different. They're just going to preach the gospel of the everlasting gospel. And it is going to be by grace as well. And I'm trying to get you to thinking of this. Grace has been from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. All get saved by grace. It's just a little different terminology how God puts it with us Gentiles. And I appreciate it. Well, I'll hush right there. God bless you. Amen. Heads bowed. I give you some more things to think on, chew on, but we'll save it for later. I'll run out of anything to preach. No. Amen. God bless you.